I greet you in the name of God the Father, who loves you and keeps you safe in the care of Jesus Christ. May it be that we receive mercy, peace, and love. A very warm welcome this morning, everyone. Well, I just want to give some feedback. I went to the primary school last week for the first time. I'd done an assembly. And I just want to give you feedback by saying, I think the teachers of this school at Forth is doing a wonderful job. I was there and I felt very encouraged and I felt uplifted because they welcomed me with warm, open arms. And I had a wonderful time with Fraser. I can't remember his surname now, but with Fraser, he's the deputy head. And it was absolutely just fantastic. And I just want to give you that positive feedback that there is good things happening in our community. And the good example is the Forth Primary School. The teachers are doing an amazing job. And I want to encourage the congregation to keep on praying for them and keep on motivating to do a good job. Because they do have challenges, but I think they are doing a very good job. On that note, I would like to, Mike, give it over to Margaret.
Morning. The intimations for today. They were on the screen, but just to confirm, the Guild is on tomorrow night and Kevin Bryce will be entertaining the members. Mainly music's on Tuesday morning. Our Planet Earth after school clubs have resumed, so if there's any kids that you know at that age want to come along, 3 o'clock on Tuesday. The Knit and Natter group, they'll resume a week on Monday, that's the 30th at 10 o'clock. And the elders, if you could possibly stay behind after worship this morning, just for a wee quick session meeting. Shouldn't it take too long, says she. Famous last words. Okay, thanks.
Our call to worship. Come and delight in the Lord's perfection. Come and delight in the Lord's perfection. Come and delight in the Lord's perfection. Let us worship God by singing our first hymn, Worship the Lord in the Beauty of His Holiness. close our eyes as we pray together. Lord God, we admire your holiness. Thank you, Lord, that you are a great God and that you know us. And thank you, Lord, that through your word you reveal your identity to us. Thank you, Lord, that you are Father God, that you, through your Son, you have revealed the truth, and through the Holy Spirit, you are with us. Lord, in the presence of your holiness, we think of our sins. We bring our faults to you. If there is brokenness in relationship, bring healing. If there is brokenness and tension in families, bring healing. If there's tension in the community, misunderstandings among neighbors, bring healing and bring comfort. In this moment, Lord, we bring that which is on our hearts and in our minds to you. Those feelings of guilt and that thoughts of knowing we've done wrong, we bring it to you. Thank you, Lord, for that feeling of healing. Thank you, Lord, for that feeling of wholeness. We are so grateful for the blood of Christ who cleansed us, who healed us, who has mended us. Knowing that we are forgiven by his blood, Lord, we pray together. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Our next hymn is Take My Life, Lord, Let It Be. The first words are the following. Take my life, Lord, let it be. Consecrate, glad and free. Take my moments and my days. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let us praise God by singing this hymn, 502. Take my life, Lord, let it be.
Take my life, Lord, let it be.
I've brought something that's very exciting. What's this? It's a football. But you'll agree with me, you can use this as a volleyball as well. A volleyball, football, a throw ball. What, burn ball, what do you call that? Netball, thank you. But you get a burn ball as well, so you have to aim someone and try to... You didn't play that at school. We always played that. We tried dodgeball. That's it. Thank you. So we played dodgeball as well. It's not a fun game if you're hit by this ball. But anyway, it's a ball, and you can do many things with the ball. So I can play on my own with this ball, but I can also play with someone else, a friend, and we can kick the ball to one another. And it's quite fun then, because it becomes a sport, because you can kick the ball to the other person and that person will kick it back. And the same with other games as well. If you have a ball, you can play on your own, but you can also share the fun with someone else. Do you know what is awkward? Let's say you've got six people playing the ball. Let's say they play football. And one child picks up, let's make it an adult, it's going to be fun. An adult takes the ball and says, I don't want to play anymore. I'm going to take the ball home. And five other adults stands there and they think, that's just weird. That's awful. We had so much fun. And then suddenly this one person just decides to pick up the ball and he walks off. Oh, what do you think will happen? Any ideas? Yes. Any ideas? It gives a bad feeling. It breaks the whole enjoyment. Everybody was so exciting playing a game, and there's just this one person decides not to play along, and that will be terrible. So playing a ball game with friends and on your own is good fun, but then all the people that's involved in that game needs to agree to play along. Like, for example, if five people decide to play football, and suddenly one person decides to play rugby, oh dear. that person will get the ball, tries to make some soccer skills, and then will be tackled suddenly without realizing it is part of the game. So to play a sport, one has to firstly agree with all the rules of the game, and everybody needs to agree to play along in the rules of the game and not decide to do something randomly, because then it will make the sport not as fun. That's why there is referees. Referees are there to make sure that the rules of the game is respected. So this is a ball game. Our reading today is about the vision in the Corinth community. So what's happening in the Corinth community is that each of the members of there's a couple of groups in the church has decided not to play along with one another. So one person follows this leader, that group has followed that leader, the other group has followed the other leader, and consequently there is division in the church. They are not playing along. One group has a rugby ball, other group has a tennis ball, this group has a soccer ball, and that group has a golf ball. So they're not playing along at all. And in Paul's writing, and he's very abrupt and very to the point, he says, stop it. Don't do it. Do you really think Christ is divided? No, Christ is not divided. Christ is one. Therefore, you should be one. Because the problem with the Corinth community was that they were honoring their leader. They thought the leaders were amazing. But the consequence was they were missing the point that they just have one leader already. It's not about the earthly leaders. It's about looking up to Christ. Looking up to Christ as your leader, that is where we start with our game. So let's say our community here is a big game. So if we play a big game together, our ball is Christ. The rules of our game starts with Jesus. That's our focus. And that's where we start. Amen. Who wants to catch the ball? No one, why not? You have to play long. No, I'm just joking. Next time, I can't remember the next time. One? Oh, we are marching on. It's quite funny. I walked in. The first question is, are we going to sing the Xhosa part? I said, no, we're not going to sing the Xhosa part because I can't speak Xhosa. But we're going to sing the English part, and we're going to sing it three times. It's a famous tune from Africa. So please stand and let us march on.
The Old Testament reading is from Isaiah chapter 9 and reading verses 1 to 4. Nevertheless, there will be no more gloom for those who were in distress. In the past, he humbled the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali, but in the future, he will honour Galilee of the nations by the way of the sea beyond the Jordan. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. You have enlarged the nation and increased their joy. They rejoice before you, as people rejoice at the harvest, as warriors rejoice when dividing the plunder. For as in the days of Midian's defeat, you have shattered the yoke that burdens them, the bar across their shoulders, the rod of their oppressor. And the New Testament reading is from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, reading verses 10 to 18. A church divided over leaders. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that all of you agree with one another in what you say, and there be no divisions among you, but that you will be perfectly united in mind and thought. My brothers and sisters, some from Chloe's household have informed me that there are quarrels among you. What I mean is this. One of you says, I follow Paul. Another, I follow Apollos. Another, I follow Cephas. Still another, I follow Christ. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I did not baptize any of you except Crispus and Gaius, so no one can say that you were baptized in my name. Yes, I also baptized the household of Stephanas. Beyond that, I don't remember if I baptized anyone else. For Christ did not send me to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom and eloquence, lest the cross of Christ be emptied of its power. Christ crucified is God's power and wisdom. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Amen.
I was admiring the snow laying on the grass. The frost was visible and on the branches and on the leaves. I was very happy at that moment, as our room was cozy, nice and cozy. The feeling of comfort was enhanced by the sun's rays breaking through the clouds. There is something very satisfying about admiring the cold while simultaneously being warm and cozy. Cold outside, warm inside. In this experience, and I struggled to relate to the 1 Corinthians reading, struggled to understand it. The reading is far from being cozy and comfortable. Paul is in a dispute with the community because there is division between them. They're not playing along. One has a tennis ball, the other one has a golf ball. He is trying to rectify their understanding of baptism and also encourage them not to be divided amongst themselves. He says, stop it. He is even sharp with his comments, and I get the impression that he's a bit sarcastic. He says, has Christ been divided into factions? To settle the division in the community, he makes his point very clear. He states that he speaks by the authority of Jesus Christ. He's not speaking in his own authority, but he's speaking in the Christ's authority. In his authority, he says that they need to live in harmony. They need to live in harmony. There should be no division in the church. Rather be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. A very clear and direct remark. It makes sense. What was going on in the community for Paul to be so firm? What was going on? Well, Paul heard via a household that there was quarrels about the leadership of the church. There was quarrels about the leadership of the church. Some were saying they were following Paul. Some said they followed Apollos. Others Peter. And even some said they followed Christ. Now, I just want to qualify here, Christ, in one of the commentaries they said it's highly likely that this was an other type of movement, like a Gnostic movement, that was not 100% pure Christianity. So it was sort of almost like a sub-movement in the Christian community during those days. But any case, they were following another type of Christ. There was groups being formed in opposition to one another. They were not playing along. Paul clearly emphasizes by being divided into these groups, they are missing the point. They are missing the point. The point is that Christ, therefore Christians, are not to be divided into factions. Factions is not on. Oneness needs to be kept in the community where the Lord Jesus is the only focus and leader. The Lord Jesus Christ is the only focus and leader. He's the one that determines our game. In other words, it is not about who conducts the baptism. Rather, it's about the baptism itself and the message of God through Jesus. It's not about who does the baptism. It's the baptism itself and the message of God through Jesus. To make this point relevant for us today, we need to consider the following questions. You ready? What can bring division in our church community? Can we identify things that can bring division in our community? Do we worship something or someone that is taking us away from the pure message of God? Do we emphasize something or someone that is bringing division into our community? What are those aspects that we know brings tension in our community? Such questions call for self-awareness and also self-examination. It starts with each one of us to think of these things and to identify them, to see it for what it is. There is differences amongst us. Each of us has a different personality, different background, different talents, and different circumstances. As I come from South Africa, I am different being in this context. When Paul then states that there needs to be oneness in the church, it does not mean that we need to lose our personal uniqueness. I don't have to lose my personal story of where I come from, South Africa. It's not about your personalities and our uniqueness. What Paul is really trying to say is that we should maintain our single focus. With our different personalities and backgrounds, we need to have a single focus. That single focus is the message of God, the Word of God. We lose our focus when we emphasize that which is not the Word of God. We lose our focus when we are not bound to the Word of God. We may embrace our unique personalities, and we need to embrace our uniqueness, but we may not lose our oneness in our understanding of God. So yes, we are different, but what makes us the same is that we understand God the same. The collective focus is that we are baptized and that we uphold the message of the cross. We all should focus on the cross. That is our focus point. We have faith in the foolish message of the cross. And it's this message that makes us one with one another. The message of the cross, the gospel in its whole, to understand it as it's written in the Word, that is what makes us one. Everything that takes us away from that message, that pure message of the cross, should be avoided. If there's something that's taking us away from this pure message, we need to identify it and to see what it is for what it is. There should be no division in the church, Paul states very clearly. Rather be one in mind, united in thought and purpose. Rather be one in mind, united in thought and purpose. Paul wanted to rectify the tension in the church by making the community aware of the main focus, which is the cross of Jesus. Our faith is not about church leaders. Our faith is not about church leaders or any other idol in our lives. It is about the baptism and the message of the Lord Jesus. As I was admiring the snow and feeling all cozy, with the sunrise warming my face, I started to imagine that Paul also was trying to bring back a sense of comfort and warmth. He was trying to bring back a sense of comfort and warmth to the community. He wanted to take out the coldness, the bitterness, the division amongst themselves. There was division, and he wanted to bring oneness. He wanted to bring one focus. He wanted to establish the rules of the game, of the Christian game, put it that way. There was tension, and he wanted to bring calmness. There was factions, and he wanted to bring mutual understanding. He wanted them to focus on the good news. The good news that they've received through grace. And he wanted them to focus on the cross of Jesus. Very simply, he wanted to bring back happiness. Very simply put, he wanted to bring back happiness in the community. A sense of connectedness by making them focus on the true leader, and that's the Lord Jesus. May we become aware of that which divides us. May we identify that which brings division. May we acknowledge that which takes us away from the message of the Word, away from the message of the cross. Let us continue to be one in faith as we sing and proclaim Christ and Christ alone. We'll be singing our next hymn, and that will be Christ the Healer, We Have Come, 717. Let us pray. I'm going to do prayers. Okay, that's fine. Okay.
Loving God, you are the creator of all the world. Have mercy on us today. Forgive our sinful ways and instill in us pure hearts and right motives. We pray for your blessing on everyone worshipping you today, and for all who do mission work, helping the poor and needy. You are God. You can see everything we do. No one can hide from you. You are everywhere, in the heavens and the earth. Be with each one of us as we go about our tasks throughout the week, and help us to have a kind and caring attitude. Help us remember we are never alone. You are always right beside us. We pray for church congregations all over the world. Give them strength and encouragement to teach your word and demonstrate your love in the hope that many people will be renewed and restored. We pray for the Church of Scotland. As the number of churches are being reduced, help us to make wise decisions when making new plans for the future. We ask that you will guide and inspire us in developing new ways for mission work in our communities. We pray for your blessings for our ministers and their families, that they will continue to trust in you and have hope for a bright future ahead. We thank you for our church family here in Forth. Help us to support each other in any way we can. Strengthen our faith and the prayer life of our church, that we will pray many blessings down from heaven. We thank you also for all the answered prayers. We pray for all who are suffering, whether mentally or physically, or through illness or grief. Comfort and strengthen each one of us and help us to cope with the challenges we face. We pray that you will protect us from all evil. Bless our families and friends and help us to continue to grow in faith, allowing Jesus to touch our hearts. We pray your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Our offerings will now be received. Let us pray together. Thank you, Lord, for these offerings. May we continue to give gladly so that your church will be rich and able to establish your kingdom with Christ as our King. May we use these monies in a way that reveals the hope we can only find in you. Amen. Our last hymn for our Sunday worship is 512, To God Be the Glory. I'm just going to read the chorus part for us. It says, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the earth hear his voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Let the people rejoice. Let us rejoice, God, by singing this hymn gladly. Do we worship something or someone that takes us away from the pure message of God? Do we emphasize something or someone that is bringing division into our community? The Word teaches us that there should be no division in the church. Rather be one of mind, united in thought and purpose. May we become aware of that which divides us. May we acknowledge that which takes us away from the message of the cross. Let us continue to be one in faith, in the presence of the Holy Spirit. May the peace of God, which is beyond all understanding, guard your hearts and your thoughts in Christ Jesus.